From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The state commissioner who oversees the Alaska Division of Motor Vehicles says they have finished a review of how personalized license plates with Nazi references became street legal. In a Facebook video, Administration Commissioner Kelly Shibaka says a plate that said Führer was issued over a decade ago and invalidated in October after a public complaint. The same motorist requested Three Reich, which was issued in November, then invalidated in January. Both personalized plates had slipped through an automated screening process. They weren't on a list of more than 11,000 vulgar, violent, and criminal and demeaning terms.
The DMV's electronic screening list will undergo a thorough review and be updated to add additional vulgar, violent, criminal, and demeaning terms per the criteria in the Alaska Administrative Code.
A deputy commissioner details more of the process in a four-page memo. It says, staff review every personalized plate request, whether there's an automated flag or not. An employee, quote, inadvertently overlooked the one that referenced Germany's Nazi regime among several hundred other personalized plate requests. As before, if either staff or the automated system flags something, a panel will review and vote to approve or reject the request. The deputy's memo notes other steps being taken, including a review of all current plates, and more than one staff person will now review personalized plates applications. One thing that 2020 taught us is that moving a huge chunk of the workforce out of the office and into the living room or garage or yurt can work. The COVID-19 pandemic forced the shift, but working from home is likely to stick with many of us well after the pandemic is over. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports it's also shifting work-related costs around.
In the normally busy atrium of the massive state office building in downtown Juneau, it's the middle of the workday and pretty quiet. Most of the offices are dark. A security guard fills me in.
All the offices are closed.
Everything's closed.
Most of the levels will be closed off.
In the building's garage, parking spaces are plentiful. State workers are mostly still working from home. You've probably heard a version of this line about one of the trade-offs.
Saving up potentially office clothing. You just have to buy the top nowadays.
Brian Penner is the business manager for the Alaska Public Employees Association. It's a union that represents municipal workers, educators, and other government employees around the state. The union polled its membership about telework, and Penner says they got mixed responses. Some people appreciated the flexibility, plus saving gas and time by not commuting, or being able to care for a relative out of state while still working their job. Others had to spend a lot more on ergonomic furniture, phone and internet service, even printer toner. Everyone's situation varies. But on the whole,
I would say that the stay-at-home costs far outweigh the cost savings, especially in the winter. I mean, with home heating costs.
Penner says some offices are supporting or reimbursing for various work-from-home adjustments. Some aren't.
There's very little consistency across departments, divisions, even offices.
And a lot of workers aren't asking.
If they worry about their job, they probably don't want to stir the pot much.
Penner thinks, pandemic aside, the Dunleavy administration is keen on expanding telework options because of the savings to the state. In Juneau, for example, many buildings are heated with electricity from the utility AEL&P.
I think I probably spent 5 straight months without coming into the building at AEL&P.
That's Alec Mezdag, who directs energy services for the utility. He walks through a table of data comparing electricity use in 2020 to 2019. There's a clear shift from institutional customers to residential ones.
And that, you know, is kind of what we would assume when a whole bunch of people stop going into the office and instead start working from home.
Ralph Townsend is the director of the Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He says the pandemic forced workplaces to consider telework, but that trend was already happening.
I think the pandemic probably is more about accelerating a trend than fundamentally changing it.
Townsend figures that in the short run, yeah, there was a shift in costs to employees who were forced to work from home. But in the long run, he thinks it'll only be the workers who want to work from home doing it. From an employer's perspective, it opens a huge pool of potential employees.
You can hire people that perhaps you couldn't have hired before.
Some elected officials fear the trend will further disconnect state workers from the communities they serve. In Juneau, it's another flavor of capital creep. That's the gradual shift of the state bureaucracy out of Juneau and the impact to the local economy of losing those steady state jobs. In rural communities, where unemployment tends to run high, losing a local state job to telework has an outsized impact. Townsend says Alaska can be an attractive place to telework from as well.
It's going to go both ways. You'll have people living in Alaska working out of state and people out of state working in Alaska. And there are plenty of people who would like to be fat tire biking in the winter in Alaska and working in someplace else.
The Juneau Economic Development Council is actually working on getting remote work to cut in the capital city's favor. And it's got a campaign in the works called Experience Juneau. The idea is to attract and help people to temporarily live like a local in Juneau, especially in the tourism off-season, while they work out-of-town jobs. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
There's been a lot of talk nationally about wearing two face masks instead of just one as new, more contagious variants of the coronavirus circulate. So should Alaskans be doubling up? Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon reports that local health experts say it depends on what kind of mask you're wearing.
Let's first consider the cloth face mask.
They're really just crisscrossing fibers, right? That's all the cloth is.
That's Dr. David Scordino, medical director at Alaska Regional Hospital in Anchorage. Scordino says face masks work by creating a barrier. They make it more difficult for the droplets that spread coronavirus to reach the people around you and for outside particles to make it to your airways. In the case of a cloth face mask, when you add additional layers of fabric,
the less likely you're still going to have a hole that you can see through and get through.
It's kind of like stacking pieces of Swiss cheese, says Anchorage Health Department epidemiologist Janet Johnston. An added layer means
there's even, you know, more of a maze that the respiratory particles have to get through before they would get out to a place where somebody else could inhale them.
So if you're sporting a single layer cloth face mask right now, Johnston says it's time to level up.
They don't cut it anymore. It's just too easy for something to get through.
Across the country, top health officials are urging people to upgrade their face masks or put on two as more contagious variants of the coronavirus are spreading. Double masking advocates have recommended people wear a cloth mask over a surgical mask, saying the combination could provide protection similar to the gold standard N95. Johnston says Alaskans could also opt to wear a single cloth mask made of two or three layers of tightly woven fabric, or one of those cloth masks with a filter.
So sort of a tight weave and multiple layers are what we're looking for.
But she notes, not so many layers that you can't breathe. At Alaska's health department, state epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin says while two masks likely will provide more protection, a priority is just having all Alaskans in one mask that fits.
The most important thing is to make sure that whether you're wearing one mask or two masks, is that if the mask needs to fit well.
And he says that mask needs to be worn properly, covering your mouth and your nose. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
In other news, Senator Lisa Murkowski and other moderate Republicans are presenting a new pandemic relief proposal to President Biden today. It's about one-third the size of the bill Biden wants. Murkowski said last week that for a bill to pass with bipartisan votes, it can't be packed with other goals like a $15 minimum wage and cybersecurity measures.
I'm trying to be constructive in saying, look, if you want to try to get more help for vaccines, more help for testing, ways to get the schools back open, help our struggling businesses. We want to help you, but don't just stuff this. That's not responsible.
The proposal of the 10 Republican senators includes direct payments of up to $1,000, but with lower income limits than earlier COVID aid bills. Individuals earning $40,000 or less would get the full amount. No checks would be sent to a single person earning more than $50,000 a year. The cutoff for families is $100,000. The Republican group, which also includes Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Mitt Romney of Utah, plan to meet with Biden at the White House this afternoon. And Alaska health officials have asked people who prematurely signed up for vaccine appointments to cancel them. Anchorage Daily News reported about 500 people in Anchorage who registered to receive vaccines at the city's mass vaccination site were ineligible because of their age or occupation. Officials say they are focused on vaccinating older adults over the next month. This is KTOO News.